Like, and here's my hi, Maya.
Good morning. I didn't even get to have my tea.
Wouldn't mind, but I was kind of labouring under the peculiar notion that you might have brought in a little gatto for us today.
Why? Because it's my last day. Shouldn't you be getting me a gatto?
No, I think actually we refuse to accept that it's your last day because you're going to be coming back to see us every few weeks.
It's my last official regular visit.
Yeah, but you'll be regular enough for my liking.
Oh, okay. What's that? Once every two months? Twice a year?
Twice a year. Every 2 months, that's enough. That's about as much as I can handle.
Such a beep. No, I didn't bring in a gatto because I'm kind of busy.
Gotta get a gatto.
I will bring in a gatto next time.
Yeah, but you'll be back. I'm not saying goodbye. I refuse to say goodbye.
No, I don't do goodbye. Also, I'm only going to London.
Yeah, yeah. But no, that is...
It's an hour away.
No, it's not. It's another universe. No, it's not.
People commute to Cork, for God's sake.
Yeah, but an hour away isn't... By the time you pack and go to the airport and come back and commute, it's not an hour.
My mate commutes from Trim every day to Dublin. He spends like an hour and a half on a bus each way. That's about the same as London.
It's not.
It is.
London is like, you might as well be in New York or Australia.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great?
Just quickly on the siblings, I have this problem, says a text, every Christmas for years. I've been expected to have my mother and brother for Christmas dinner, even though I have my own family now. My other brother has only taken my mother and brother once. I never get a break. I hate Christmas now.
Oh no, Christmas expectations. Saying it to Kate, it's like an advent calendar of doom, where with every day there's another argument. And actually, there's this, what we're talking about today, there's elements, there are festive elements to this as well. The stresses that come with this time of year. Well, my husband and I, the first year we were together, we had this, well, where do you spend Christmas? Like, well, I'm going to be here. Where are you going to be? He's like, well, I'll be in the UK. So we just do Christmas separately.
Yeah.
And then people say, that's weird. You go, it isn't weird at all. And we're doing the same this year. I'm coming back for Christmas. He's staying with his family. And then we will have a brilliant New Year somewhere.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's a day.
Yeah.
It's a dinner.
And another one of my friends suggested to her in-laws, because she has new babies, is sick and tired. Again, same thing. She gets the text 1st of December saying, do you want me to make the pudding this year? Yeah. And you go, I haven't asked you yet. Why? So she's suggesting that they all go out and they've booked a lunch somewhere. We're all going to go to this hotel for lunch, meet there at 12. Everything's going to be done. I get to come home.
Okay.
And that's it. Well, it's working for
whatever them. Gets you through it. That's the key.
But that texter, I do wonder, has she spoken up about that?
And well, do you know what? I was going to say the same thing. Keith Gaynor, who we had in earlier on from John of Gods, was quite right when he said, people need to stop sulking and start talking, essentially, is what he was saying. And, you know, why don't they always say, and then bitch to their friends saying, don't, just say to them, listen, do you mind if I bring this up? And I think people would appreciate that conversation.
It's part of the Irish psyche. It's the same reason why we don't complain in restaurants or we get bad haircuts and go, that's fine.
It's fine.
We
want to
go, look at my Barnet. But if you actually speak up and say, I'm not happy with this.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it aggressively.
Exactly.
And if you've been miserable for years and people say, you never told me, and it's 4 years later. But if she speaks up and says, you know what, I'm a bit knackered, I've a lot on, why don't we do Stephen's Day buffet in my house or something.
That's a good suggestion. Always come to the table maybe with a solution as well.
Yeah.
Rather than coming and saying, I don't want to do it, you're all rubbish.
Yeah.
Just say so.
Or just do what I do, ignore it and change your phone number.
And hope it goes away. Yeah.
I have
a bucket of sand in my head. Anytime I say something coming down the tracks I don't like, head goes in. That's it. That's how I deal with stuff. Oh look, there's a bill for the
Christmas is quite a unique time for stress though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is if you let it be.
See, I love Christmas.
If you let it in, see, I love it too. I Christmas for me starts in November. I'm all for that.
So you've got toy show build up and things as well.
Seven weeks.
Now is too soon. Halloween has to, let Halloween go by first, and then I'm happy to. Like, they're selling Christmas cakes. Now, not Christmas cake, ingredients.
That since August.
Yeah, ingredients, because you make your own cake, you can make it in August. But the actual Christmas cakes, that's nonsense. No one needs to buy a Christmas cake now. So I refuse, although I have already bought two Christmas presents.
You have?
Yeah, I saw a particular nice thing that would be lovely for my sister, so I just thought, I'll buy it now.
That's wise. I think that's a good idea. And I've got pictures. I've taken pictures of things I want to get people. I'd be in a shop and I go,
what? You're planning to send someone back to buy them for you? Have your people do it?
Have my people do it for me.
Why are you photographing? Why not just buy them, you
weirdo?
Because
I don't know if I want... I'm assembling like a mind palace... Like Sherlock Holmes' mind palace of ideas, and I can go there then and grab them.
Such notions about
such
a mind palace.
Come on,
you've just got a bad memory. You're taking photographs.
That's actually what it is. Yeah, but I'm trying to fob it off as something more intelligent than that. Story of my life.
It's not. You're basically just a walking Argos catalogue. That's all you are. Anyway, which moves us nicely on.
I, for one, won't be sorry to see her go. Go on. What are we talking about?
We're talking about compulsive shopping. This is my sneaky way of getting in a plug for my new series that I hope will eventually be on. We've been talking about it for so long. It'll be on next month. So if I come back, I can come in and tell you about it in more detail.
Yeah, you sure can.
But one of the episodes is about shopping. And there's a lot. There's lots to it. One of the elements that we looked into was compulsive shopping, that I thought, that's a Celtic Tiger thing, people who have too much money. But it's not. And the Rutland Centre, which is a well-known centre to treat addiction in Ireland.
Sex, booze and drugs.
Yeah, and they'd be the biggies.
Yeah.
But they have treated people in Ireland, and they are treating people in Ireland, for shopping addiction.
No.
I thought, is that really? And the thing about shopping, and I'd be, and again, it making the programme, we talk about how men and women shop differently. It does go right back to a hunter-gatherer thing. It's not a sexist thing. I love shopping probably more than you do. Women like browsing because they were the gatherers. Men like just going in, it's the quick kill. They were the hunters. And they do say that.
Isn't that funny? So that's part of our DNA rather than a sort of a social guidance thing.
It's also, someone said to me recently, the reason why women like pink, it's not because there's a weird gender imbalance and Barbies are forced on us as kids. It's because women back in the hunter-gatherer days used to have to know how to look for riper fruit and were drawn towards reds and pinks because it signified ripeness and stuff that wasn't, or when meat wasn't raw, apparently.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so that is my excuse for wearing a pink jumper today and enjoying
shopping.
And I'm
wearing a grey one.
Yes, it's a lovely jumper, by the way.
It's a manly jumper.
It is. Well, yeah, I wouldn't say manly.
That's not manly. I'm joking. It's a snuggle jumper.
It's it's a wry jumper.
Like W R Y.
Yeah, it's sort of
It's a round neck, which is very unusual. Yeah, I've only got one round neck. I like this one though.
It's
4 years old.
Is it?
Yeah. Sorry, but
it's washed well. There you go now.
Yeah, it's worn well, very well.
If you buy good clothes, they will. I know it's
little things there.
I can't think of what the word is that I'm looking for.
Rye. We'll go with rye. It's the most unusual word to describe a jumper, but we'll go with that for now.
It's idiosyncratic. That's what it is.
Well, that would be right.
Yeah.
We'll go with
because
that.
Because the patches don't
And they're not
match.
Quite patches. They're little.
And it's a slightly ironic nod to a teacher's jumper, but in a modern way. Because the patches aren't the leather patches. They are
No. They're not
different.
Patches on the elbows necessarily either. They're all over.
So it's a kind of faux ripped look.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in a kind of pretentious way. Anyway,
you can never.
But shopping is known as retail therapy.
Sorry.
Why do we call it therapy? Why do we use words like that?
Yeah.
Because it is, and I will admit to, I get a high when I go shopping. I get that buzz, and I, you know, as part of the show, I was talking to people who are compulsive shoppers, thinking, God, am I a compulsive shopper? But I'm also really, I am very careful with money. Leave it. I'm not tight. I am just careful with money. So I will never leave it.
You know what I'm going to say.
I know. So I've never paid a cent in credit card debt. I pay my credit card bill off every month.
Yeah.
So I don't go into Brown Thomas and put £5,000 handbags on my credit card because I can't pay that off at the end of the month. So I just won't do that. But a lot of people do. And the thing about shopping addiction is the kind of new phenomenon of very cheap high street shops. You know, if you like H&M and Penny's and Forever 21, you can go in there with €20 and come out with essentially a new outfit. So people who do feel this compulsion to buy every day can go into Penny's and just buy a couple of little things and feel that the box has been ticked. They get the little high and the buzz of shopping without going into department stores.
What's the hit?
Spending.
What's the hit?
The hit, well, the comparison is made with drugs and alcohol, and it is actually a rush. It is a rush when you start thinking about it in the morning of that jumper I saw in Zara or the trousers I saw in Dunn's. I really need to have them. They will make my life better. And it's usually a sign that there's something else that you're avoiding in your life. Because, I mean, it doesn't mean if you enjoy shopping and you get a rush. I do. I don't think I have a problem. I love coming out of a shop with a new bag and coming home and cutting the tags off and lovely new things. But it's that feeling when you have a wardrobe full of clothes and you still have nothing to wear that you have to question. Why? I want to.
Is that all women, by the way? Is that all women? Where they look at the wardrobes, I have nothing to wear, and actually, the wardrobe's about to explode.
Well, there was, the brilliant Caitlin Moran.
Well, she's brilliant for some people, and not so brilliant for others.
She said she made a great just talk over you. She made a great observation where she said it's when women open their wardrobe, they feel what they're actually feeling is there's nothing in this wardrobe for who I feel I need to be today. Ooh, I think that was quite philosophical. Because sometimes, if you're just going for a walk with the dog, you won't think about it. You put on your trainers and your jeans, your tracksuit bottoms, and away you go. But if you are, say, coming in here and you're going to be judged by somebody and have your shoes looked at, and, you know, I have a closed toe, don't worry.
Thank goodness. What?
then, you know, there's nothing for who I feel I need to be today, be it in the boardroom, be it on a date, that you feel... Because the fact is, if I have a really nice, like that jumper you're wearing, I don't know that it's 4 years old. I haven't seen it before.
Yes.
But some women might feel putting something on, this is old. I need something new to make me feel new and to kind of justify how I feel I should feel. That makes sense, very complicated. But when is it a problem? This thing, when should you? Because all those things are normal. And like I said, I get the rush of buying something. I don't buy beyond my means. But if you are... If you're the kind of person who is using a second credit card to buy things. I mean, I spoke to one of the directors in MABS, who are, you know, brilliant group that will help people out who are in debt for various reasons. But I was thinking, we're living in through times where people can't afford to pay their rent. Are people really coming to you with 20 grand on credit cards? And you went, yeah, they are.
Buying stuff. Not buying an extension.
The trouble with compulsive shopping, shopaholism, as it's known, is that it's different. Like, if I have a drug problem, people can actually, you can be taken away from the source of the drugs. And even it's hard and hard to not drink. If you're an alcoholic, you maybe have to stay out of pubs for a while, and friends need to acknowledge that, look, let's be careful. Let's go for walks. Let's play a sport. Let's go for tea and cake. Let's not be in the pub. But you can remove the person from... The source of the addiction. How do you remove somebody from the source of addiction if it's shopping? You have to buy food every day. You have to pass shops. You know, you're not falling off a bar stool or injecting behind a bus shelter.
Is it like shopping for anything? Like, could you get a hit from buying a Danish pastry like you might get a hit from buying a new blouse or a handbag?
It doesn't usually happen with food. People who have very serious ones, there was a program on BBC called Britain's Compulsive Shoppers, and there was a woman who was buying, and again, they did it very well because they found brilliant people, spoke to them, and then at the end, they kind of unraveled what was really going on. And one woman, she was a single mom, two gorgeous teenage sons, and she opened this locked door, and she was living in a small house, so the living room was locked with all her crap in it. And there was tins of paint, and that she did, outdoor paint she didn't need, and the presenter went, well, why would you, but look, it was 50p, and that should have been £9, and she had, but you bought five of them and you don't need them. So that's quite extreme.
We're into psychology then, aren't we?
And, you know, at the end, they spoke to her and spoke to a psychologist, and she was kind of replacing love. She had her two boys, but she hadn't met anybody. And she said, I get a great feeling of warmth and satisfaction from... Hers was exclusively bargain hunting. Now, she was still in debt.
She felt like she was getting a hug.
50p's, they add up.
They add. Okay, we're going to have to take a commercial break, but we'll be back in a moment. 51552-1025, Maya Dunphy, live in studio.
That's why they call the shop Mace.
That's why they call it, indeed. Yep. What have you got for me? I always buy backups, as a text. If I can't find what I want, I buy something. I always buy backups. If I can't find what I want, I buy something I don't really like, just in case I'm stuck for an outfit.
See, I do that too. And I'm getting better. And I have a rule now that I have a fairly small wardrobe. It's full to capacity. So now I say, if I have five pairs of jeans, I don't need a six pair of jeans. If one of them wears out, then maybe I need to replace them. But now I have to get rid of one thing to buy a new thing. That's my new rule. Don't always stick to it.
No, that's
but
not
did
a
you
bad
hear?
Room.
As soon as you went to the ad break, it was ads for shopping, shopping,
hurry, hurry.
And that's going to start because this is the thing. At this time of year, we're building up to Christmas, and this is when people get into, people who don't think they are compulsive shoppers, effectively bankrupt themselves, and then they have that doom of January of the credit card bill or the bank statement arriving on their car in their hall mat, and you know, like a brick.
Bang.
And it's
not good news.
As the money advisors say, Christmas is on the same day every year. So if you have trouble, if you have a limited income, start putting aside €2 a week, €5 a week if you can, and start buying things. If you know that your kid wants a bicycle,
start saving
and don't get into debt. That's not compulsive shopping, sir. I'm talking about you, but it's still dangerous.
I get pleasures as a text from looking at stuff in the shops. I don't have to buy anything, but I do feel the pressure from salespeople, so I can only visit a shop once in a blue moon. I have to buy it if I go back.
Yeah, again, that's quite an Irish thing. You know, when you go to the States, people say, hello, can I help you today? And Irish people go,
I'll have one of everything.
No, I can't handle it. No, whereas we like being left alone. And I remember going into a particular shop in Dublin, I won't name it, and trying on a dress, and they came and threw back the fitting room curtain And I was still kind of struggling to get it on. They were like, well, come out, show us. I went, I really don't want, no. And ended up buying it just to leave.
Just to go, oh God, okay, that's very Irish. Online shopping is the worst because you tell yourself you'll send it back if you don't like it. Then it comes, but you think it's all right. So you put it in the wardrobe, never wear it, and never send it back. I have to step away from
online
the laptop.
Online shopping is very, if you have to hand over cash in a shop, it feels like spending money. If you're clicking on PayPal and typing in a password, you can spend a lot more money online.
Yeah, I believe that.
Which is very dangerous.
Caitlin Moran can't decide what way to pronounce Bowie. She says Bowie or Bowie, but she says it either way. Of course, it's Bowie, as she should know.
Well, thank you very much. I don't even know how to pronounce her name. I was calling her...
Kathleen Moran.
Yeah, because we say Moran.
Yeah, but...
Kathleen, but it's Caitlin Moran.
Like Doherty.
Apparently.
And then Gallagher.
I know.
And McGrath.
What is the story?
They're not native Irish speakers.
Well, my in-laws are... my sister-in-law's surname is Coughlin, but they pronounce it Coughlin.
Coughlin, yeah.
I don't know.
It's C-O-U-G-H.
And Rory McGrath. Yeah. Things like that.
McGrath.
But just... I don't like it.
It's you'll be my dumpy.
Just
that's what they say.
I was spelling my name down the phone, so I went, Maria, is it Maria? I said, no, it's Maya.
Mariah.
Are you sure it's not Maria? I went, what? This is quite existential. Yes, this is me speaking. I'm pretty sure there isn't an R in my name, but thank you very much for that, sir.
Love the show, Brian. Love the show, Brian. Every Saturday I watch it. We all watch it, Brian. Any chance of tickets for the toy show, Brian? Love the show. My kids want to go to the toy show. First of all, my name's Ryan. Secondly, my show's on a Friday night. Thirdly, there are no children on the late show. The audience have to be over 18 to be there. I'm going to make a t-shirt of that. Please stop calling me Brian. Oh, that's it.
Oh, Brian.
How are you, Brian? Love the show on a Saturday. No, you...
See, people mean well.
I know
they
that.
They do. It's
just when the bit of the sandwich spits on my cheek.
You love that, don't you?
You know I'm all about the spittle.
I'm all about the spittle. Right, so here are some... Let's do some signs that you may be in trouble.
I'm all right on this one.
If you...
I'm all right on this
one. Most men are, actually.
But let's hear it for the listeners.
It does tend to... It affects... I think the statistic is 80% of sufferers are female.
No surprise there.
So, you know, we have a lot to contend with. And sometimes we need to vent in different ways. So if you're showing an obsession with making purchases on a daily or weekly basis that you don't... Not food now, but that you don't need.
Okay.
That you cope with stress by shopping. If you feel stressed, like I'm a little bit like that.
Yeah.
I don't comfort eat.
So when you leave a meeting with the guys on TV, do you head straight for Dum Dum?
Straight to Poundland.
with a credit card. I want to get 700 bags of Swizzles.
Did you hear that shop in the UK who call themselves Pound World?
No.
And their tagline is everything £1. Someone went in, undercover journalist, what the hell?
Yeah.
And found an item worth £3 and is now suing them. They can't use the tagline anymore. Because there was a £3 item in the shop that says everything £1.
Isn't it
People
well
have
for
too
them?
Much time on their hands.
It's well for them.
If you max out a credit card or start a new one without paying off a previous balance.
Oh, bad.
Now, not for things like, let's say you're, like when I bought my home, I had to buy things like a fridge, freezer and an oven. And they're big expenses. So you might have those for a couple of months in your credit card. But if you're getting a new credit card to go and buy shoes.
To buy gloves in July.
Yes. If you feel an intense euphoria or excitement after buying something that then kind of recedes very quickly. But I mean, a really, you know, that rush of excitement that is then gone. You need to, maybe need to question, did the blouse bring you that rush of euphoria or is something else going on? If you steal or lie to hide the habit. So I think we've all done the thing of coming home and saying, I just bought one thing. Or a lot of women will lie about how much something cost. Why would you lie about what something costs? Unless
because
you can't afford it. If a bag costs 50 and you say, oh no, this handbag, I got it for €10 in the end of the sale. It actually wasn't, it was €85.
Well, in Ireland, you don't want to, most people don't want to suggest to other people that A, they can afford stuff that's quite dear. And they don't want to, you know, there might be somebody going, this old thing, well, I only got it in
well,
pennies.
Well, that's self-deprecating.
No,
that's...
No, there's a bit more to it than that. I just need to kill the microphone. I'm thinking of somebody. And we'll say, you know, I bought this for 50p and you know it costs more than that and you know it costs a lot more than that and, you know, it's playing it down to say I'm, you know, we're all in this.
See, we did that. We had that chat about a self-esteem thing and it's a very Irish thing that nobody wants to look like they've lost the run of themselves. Whereas if you're somebody, like women in France who in the workplace will buy incredibly expensive clothes, not too many, and they will say, yeah, this is a Chanel suit. This is my Monday suit.
Ugh.
And
two fingers to you.
Please,
I wear this suit. I look a $1 million. Or like you might say, francs.
Okay, is this 1980s Hello, Hello? What?
Hello,
what
Hello! Was that? Look at me in my Chanel suit. I am magnifique, no.
Although, Nicole, this is off, my mum will kill me. My mum said to me when she was living in Paris, she said, a lot of them, though, said they get very smelly because they wear the same suit. I said, mum, you can't send you. Well, they do.
Talking about French people.
She had, because the women would have two brilliant suits.
And that's it.
But they would only be dry cleaned twice a year. And just the blouses would change. And she said the suits would often be quite sweaty. Well, in a Parisian summer.
They say that the French aren't the most hygienic. Where did that come from? That racial stereotype that I totally disapprove of.
I have absolutely no idea.
But you know,
idea.
You've heard that, haven't you? It's like
know,
the Germans and the towels, you know, and the Irish and the drink. You know, we all have our stereotypes.
But I don't agree with that. I've never met a less than fragrant friend. That's not true. What am I talking
now
about?
Now you know yeah, you're a lying sack
yeah.
of London.
I was a tour guide in South France. And
you got the whiff, the bang.
Yeah, a few of the kind of country folk who.
Right, I've been paying off the same amount off my credit card for 5 years. I never get anywhere with it. That's depressing, isn't it?
Is that a genuine text?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, that person
that's a
that needs
call,
that
it?
Is.
Yeah.
When you pay even 10p on your credit card, you're paying about 17% interest.
Yeah.
So if you have €200 on your credit card and it's taking you a year to pay it off, you're going to pay back three times that amount of money. That person needs to go to their bank or credit union and get a loan. Pay off the credit
and
card.
And then pay the loan off.
And pay the loan back, because
okay.
the loan will be a much lower rate. Genuinely, that is
good
not
advice.
Good. That's a dangerous place to be in. Not dangerous, but that person is throwing away money every month.
Okay, and it's...
Sort that out.
That's good. That's my, I like that.
Yeah, can I be your new money advisor?
No.
See, my dad's an accountant and I'm kind of half accountant.
Oh, well, that explains the penny pinching. I went through that shopping addiction phase. With me, it was really cheap bargains. I learned the science behind it. Now I'm grand. When you feel the high, you walk away for 10 minutes under the dopamine subsides until the dopamine subsides, and you can think with a clear head, and then you realise you don't actually need it. So alternatively, bring your sensible daughter, who will talk you out of buying a greatly reduced swanky dress in TK Maxx, by reminding you that the likelihood of you being invited to a film premiere anytime soon is really quite slim. I like that text.
That's a lot of common sense in one text right there.
Well, she obviously confronted it and dealt with it,
yeah.
And then brings the daughter every time she steps into a shop.
Well, if money is becoming a problem and you have all these clothes that still have the tags on, then you need to take a step back and consider, like that woman has, and say, this is an unreal high I am getting from even fingering this blouse. It's leave it. So make a list. If you need to buy a new shirt or socks or knickers, make a list and don't deviate from that list. If you have three credit cards, why? Cut them up.
Why?
Don't have them. Avoid discount shops. I'm a devil for certain well-known.
Well, no surprise there. Which one are you talking about? Well, go on, say the name. Name it.
Oh, see, I love TK Maxx.
Okay,
I love it. But I'm very sensible then. I've bought some amazing things in there.
Yeah,
got a beautiful blazer. €50.
Can't see you in a blazer. Can't see you in a blazer.
Would you stop what I do?
I can't see you in a blazer. I've never seen you in a blazer.
You have, because I wore one when we were out in Stillorgan.
That show then.
And you went, why are you wearing a blazer?
Did I do that?
Yeah.
Like,
well, we had the guy on stilts that that scared the bejays out of me, and you made him get into the van. Oh, the guy on stilts. It's the fake knees. It's the fake knees.
I know it is. It's disturbing.
Here's a good one. Window shop after shops have closed.
Yeah.
Which I think it's kind of sad. You're not going to walk down Grafton at 3 a.m. going, oh, look at the stuff that I can't buy.
Tiny Tim.
If you're travelling to visit friends or relatives, have your gifts wrapped and call the project finished. So have things wrapped and ready to go and go, that's it, they're the thing, that's my stuff done, that's my Christmas shopping done, I am not buying any extra things. People have this thing of, if they're not buying for themselves, they're buying for other people. And there's certain people I know that go buck wild at Christmas.
Yeah.
And they're giving you 25 presents. You go, I really don't need 25.
Is that about you or them?
Taddy.
Are those presents about you or them?
I think it's about them. This is the thing.
That's the thing. Kat has been on to say, I buy all my clothes second hand. They're much cheaper. You'd like this. And they're new to me. And I don't feel guilty spending money because it's for a good cause. So dead people's clothes in shops.
I have a thing.
Vintage.
Excuse me. I have. Yeah, see, my engagement ring was vintage. And my mother-in-law said to her friend, oh, show the second hand ring. I said, no, we call it antique. It's antique or vintage. There's a fine line. I'll be honest. I have a thing about second hand clothes. I just... Now, there's a new thing now. Okay, we cover it in the documentary. It should be on RT2 next month. Consigning, where it's a posh way of saying secondhand. So if I am somebody who has a wardrobe full of Gucci and Prada and Chanel, really expensive clothes that I've hardly worn, which I don't, rather than give them to a charity shop, you can consign them so that you can go to these stores that look like beautiful boutiques and they smell like beautiful boutiques. And when they sell your item, you get 40% or 50% of the sale, depending on the shop. Okay. So women who spent too much money in the boom are now doing this, and they're consigning these incredibly expensive handbags and shoes.
Elaine said, best of luck, Maya. London is great. It's lucky to get you.
Oh.
That's a nice thing to say.
That's very kind.
Yeah.
Don't make me cry.
We'll see in a few weeks' time.
Yes. You kick me out now?
No, yeah, I am, yeah. But only with lovingly kicking out. And we'll see in a few weeks' time.
Lovingly.
But good luck over
your
there.
Your body language said anything other than love. It's like, yeah, yeah, bye.
Get out. Good luck in London.
Thank you.
It'll be isolating.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
All the apples and pears.
Do that when you're over there. They'd love that.
They will, yeah. That's kind of going top of the morning to you, Paddy.
How are you doing, Paddy? Maya, thanks so much. We'll see you later on. Good luck with the new beginnings. But I'm not saying goodbye. I refuse. Sorry.
Ciao.